AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. No Stein today, but I got a special guest coming up here in just a moment. But of always special is Hunter. He was producing for us. You know why today was a good day?
Why?
Today was the first day that the sun started fighting back. And what I mean by that is that when that sun was out, did you notice all the roads kind of cleared out pretty quick?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the sign that it's coming. I mean, it's it's getting later, and the sunsets are getting later in the evening. The sun is going up earlier. It's nice. We're getting a full day of sunshine. But when that sun is able to hit the road, it's starting to melt things and melt things fast.
And it was freezing this morning, but the sun being out, it's been nice all day.
It has been nice. And so I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you have washer fluid. You'll need a lot of it. You will indeed. Cliff Schechter is, of course, a friend of the show here, founder, president of the PR firm in Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast, and, of course, the exceptional podcast, Unprecedented, of course, with him. You can catch that as well on Patreon. He is kind enough to join us today to talk about politics. It is Cliff Schechter. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Matt. How are you, dude?
I'm doing better, and you and I can talk really quick. Pitchers and catchers are starting to report. It's a good thing.
I know. I saw that, obviously, the other day. Not that I didn't know it was happening, but MLB tweeted out. I'm like, oh, so good. We're going down to Florida for spring break, and my mom is in the Sarasota area. As you know, the Yankees aren't too far away from there, so I must disappoint you and tell you, Matt, that we will be going to one of their games.
Oh, I will say this. The Yankees are clearly taking the Red Sox seriously. They are trying to find anything they can to match up with that Red Sox team. I'm sorry, though. That Red Sox team, how they plowed through through Houston, they went right through the Dodgers last year. I don't know how.
No, they're good, man. Yeah. I'm hoping, as a Yankees fan, that the bullpen, losing whose name isn't coming to me, to the Dodgers, and not having signed Craig Kimbrell, they may actually have a kryptonite this year, but we'll see. I mean, look, I wouldn't take anything away from them. I mean, they were incredible last year, and there wasn't a weakness.
There wasn't.
Yankees won 100 games and couldn't compete with them in the playoffs. So
wasn't just the Yankees. Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers all were really good teams, and they all looked like minor leaguers compared to the Red Sox. It was good.
That's exactly right.
We'll have to see
all credit to that Red Sox team. That was an incredible team.
We'll have to see how the Twins do in the post Mauer era as that begins now. I mean, there are some hints they might throw a few dollars around yet. We'll have to see.
Well, I hope they do. The Reds made these. I mean, I live in Cincinnati, so I've become a Reds fan too, and the Reds often angered me with their lack of spending and letting the Aroldis Chapmans and Todd Frazier's and Jay Bruce's and Cueto's and others go. I think the guys I just named, they kept that core. That was a contending team. But they made some interesting trades this offseason with L.A., and they got Sonny Gray from the Yankees, who was a completely different pitcher on the road than he was at home. So who knows? I'm hoping the Reds can do some things, and maybe they'll spend a little money like the Twins.
All right, we're off baseball, but I do want to get your impression about.
We'll get to the other thing we talked about.
I want to talk about Minnesota, and namely Amy Klobuchar. Of course, the senator announced in what was kind of an iconic moment in a massive snowstorm that she's going to be running for president. In Minnesota, you and I talked a little bit before we came on the air. She's quite a bit loved here. And I mean, and it goes back to that time when she was the only senator when there was the Coleman-Franken fight. And she's really endeared herself. She runs 50-60% in red districts. I mean, she is wildly popular in outstate Minnesota, something that not a lot of Democrats are, without having to be someone like Colin Peterson, who is a far right Democrat. She has been able to do that. But I mean, the question, for us, is we want to evaluate it because, I mean, we have, dreams of Walter Mondale and Hubert Humphrey again in our mind. The reality is how does Amy Klobuchar play outside of Minnesota?
Well, I think she actually played really well until some of these stories started coming out. I mean, the whole kind of, I'm a Midwesterner these days, as you're a Midwesterner, and so the whole Midwestern nice, the fact of people being polite. Look, I go back home to New York, where I grew up, in Philly, where I went to college, and I'm lucky. We're lucky when our kids were smaller and we're scared to walk down Fifth Avenue. People just kick them out in the street to get them out of the way, right? So, no offense to my friends from New York listening, of course, but here people don't do stuff like that, and they say hello, in the morning. And, you know, she projected that whole image, which I think was a very popular image, particularly in the age of Trump, where you've got this large sort of orange, you know, cretin yelling at everybody and freaking out and acting like a lunatic he is, so that she almost was presented the perfect opposite. And I think a lot of people around the country want that when they take a look at Donald Trump. Of course, the problem is these stories, and I will say, you know, if some people are saying, oh, they're just coming out around the presidential, that she's running for president. I've heard these stories for a number of years, knowing people in Capitol Hill. I'm not saying they're disqualifying. They may be. We need to know more, certainly. But, I mean, you know, it's never okay to be abusive to staff. I've been in that position before. I have been a staffer. I quit working for a very high-profile politician here in Ohio for that very reason, because he was degrading and he was insulting, and it's not okay. You know, that's the best thing I can say. If all this stuff really is true, I'm going to say, at least for somebody like me, that's going to make me very much reevaluate whether I'll support. I mean, I'd certainly support her if she's the nominee over Donald Trump a million times, but within a Democratic primary, I think people are going to want to know more.
And you see, this is all news. I mean, I saw those stories come out too, and I mean, Huffington Post broke it really even on the Friday before she announced that there were these allegations. What did you hear? I mean, it is a very stressful job. You're a U.S. senator. It's in a position where you wear a wrong colored coat one day, and the media attacks you. You know, I guess what did you hear that elevated this more to a level of caution?
There's a few things along the lines, and now they've been written about, so I don't feel bad saying some of them. The two that get me worse than sort of, yes, people can send nasty emails in the middle of the night over a little mistake. I mean, that would drive me crazy. I had that happen to me, too. But that's, you know, that you can put sort of aside and say there's probably a lot of senators and members of the House who do that.
Yes.
The stories about her throwing things, you know, that crosses a line. And obviously, therefore, we need to make sure those are true and aren't just made up. And I would say the other one that really bothers me is the story. And again, I'd heard something along these lines. So again, you never know, right? It could be somebody just sharing something they heard. But now that it's been reported, which is her actually calling people in her office who had other job offers and wanted to leave, her finding out about them and calling those offices and having them rescind those offers. That's pretty bad.
I worked for a boss that did that, who basically, it was a radio station, and when she found out that someone was getting a better job offer, I mean, and this is illegal to do, she would call over and, you know, tell them you don't want to hire this person, this is a bad amount. That's actually quite illegal. That's federal law. You can't, you know, you can't give a bad review, basically. You can say, I'm not going to give a review, but you can't give a bad review, and you sure can't go on out there to try to do a hatchet job on someone. When you hear that, I mean, I don't quite know what to think about that. I mean, that it does kind of deflate the bubble that we have here in Minnesota a little bit.
Well, I think she also really needs to take it head on and address this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to go away, you know, and there's plenty of candidates we can say that for, you know, because each candidate has at least one or two things that they're going to have to address. Nobody's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to decide, is this something that is maybe just a part of the overall pastiche, if you will. I mean, is it part of who they are and it's something you don't like but you can live with? Or is it really something that is disqualifying? And, you know, I don't know that yet. It's not disqualifying for me at this point, I'll say. It bothers me. It lowers her in my estimation and in where she is on my list. And I'll just, for disclosure, everybody, I don't have a favorite yet. I like Kamala Harris. I like Cory Booker. I like Beto O'Rourke. Like others too, but I haven't picked somebody who I'm definitively behind. And so Klobuchar has a lot of positives that I like. I like that image of her. I like the fact that she clearly seems like somebody who is a terrific retail politician, can win, as you pointed out, in Republican areas. It is very good at constituent services, which matters. But, you know, how you treat people, that comes back. You see a lot of that. I mean, maybe not as much on the presidential level, but we should see that at the presidential level. When people come to you and they need help, that your office is there to help them. So there's a lot of good to be said. You know, we just need to find this out. Because, again, that stuff is really, I mean, you know, that's a problem. And, you know, that is over-the-top behavior. And so I'm hoping she'll address it in a way that makes people feel comfortable and say, okay, you know, but don't just walk away from it.
Well, and I think
it's going to go away.
I think the three things. You talk about late-night emails. I think a lot of people do that, especially people in power. I mean, that's just when they get to something, they knee-jerk.
That's not disqualifying to me at all. I mean, I don't like it, but it's not.
If she would come on out and say, yes, there was an employee in my office who had a different job offer, but I felt that they were so important to my office, I made a judgment call to basically try to keep them there. It's not necessarily excusable, but you know, at least she's trying to make an understanding about it. And I think that any person who's been in management roles, when you think about losing someone you're going to really like, it's to a point relatable. It's not something I advise, but it's something people say, yeah, I've been there too as a manager. I don't want to lose a person, and it's hard. The throwing things though, and I saw that one too. I think that. You know, like I said, I think to a point, it's good, I think, that this is all out now, because in these news cycles, we're just so freaking overloaded nowadays.
We will remember it in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. No, and I think – and I agree with you. And when I look at Klobuchar and from my perspective, and I want your gauge on this, I think Harris is a very strong candidate. Beto O'Rourke, I think, is a very strong candidate. And I think Klobuchar
–
assuming he runs, yes. And I think Klobuchar is a very strong candidate. Outside of Biden, I would say, you know, and this is just my interpretation, outside of Biden, those are the first three that I think about that I think are of the group that's coming through, that's the strongest next group. And do you think I'm wrong on that, or do you feel as if that's a fair assessment? Because like I said, if Biden says he wants to run, former vice president, very well liked, remind people of the Obama administration, he's going to be a front runner. And I think a lot of people would quickly get behind Biden, especially after Trump.
Sure, he's going to be formidable if he runs. I would agree with that assessment. I think I wouldn't write off Elizabeth Warren, who obviously has a story to tell and what she's done. I think the biggest problem with her is she's let Trump and the right define what she needs to do. I mean, my response to all this stuff would have been, you know, we all grow up being told by our families what our heritage is. We all embrace that heritage. What is wrong with you that you need to be racist against? I mean, it should have been that simple. You're being racist. I was brought up in a heritage where I'm proud of my Cherokee background. Done. Right? Mm-hmm. Said she has to prove it with the DNA. I think she bought in and she played their game, and I wish she didn't. However, I wouldn't take my eyes off of her. Cory Booker is another interesting one. You know, what's interesting is, how does a 49-year-old bachelor play? I have no idea. Do people care? I don't care, obviously, one bit. But, he's been... a popular figure, obviously knows how to use social media well. He's interesting. But I think, you know, what you said, more or less, I think that's probably about right. The folks that I think are in the top, I think Booker and Warren could get in there, possibly Gillibrand. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of anger at Gillibrand over that other senator you guys had there in Minnesota. Whether it's deserved or not doesn't much matter. It's out there.
I don't think Gillibrand's going to be coming to Minnesota anytime. I can tell you, she is not liked here. And I mean, I think that that would actually, if she did become the Democratic nominee, I will go out
and lose Minnesota.
Minnesota could go to the Republicans. I am dead serious. She is so disliked about that whole Franken thing. I don't know how she'll play out, but I actually don't see her as, you know, knocking off Harris or Klobuchar or Beto O'Rourke if he runs, or even Booker if he runs.
I don't think so either. I think, frankly, you know, people bring up the Franken thing. I think in general, Gillibrand has been too much of an opportunist, and she's burned a lot of bridges. It's not the Franken thing. I mean, she took shots at Bill and Hillary Clinton, which, if you're trying to build your base up in New York, your fundraising base and everything else, yeah, that's not a smart way to go. Mm-hmm. And I would add into that, you know, my problem with Gillibrand has always been that, you know, I don't like how she got that appointment. I don't like that her dad was a Republican lobbyist in Albany. This may be too inside baseball for some people, but her dad was a Republican lobbyist with a good relationship with Patterson, who only became governor of New York because Elliot Spitzer stepped down. So here you had this guy who became governor almost by default and handed the prize to somebody who was new on the scene and really, in many people's eyes, I mean, there are these longtime members of Congress, Jerry Nadler, Anita Lowey, who'd earned it. You know what I mean? And I think that's played into this whole, the opportunism of her, and that she was very anti-gun control and anti-immigrant when she was in this more conservative district, and then magically she moves, is all of New York, and she's like the most progressive person in the room on those. So I think there are people like me that don't forgive for that. You forget the Franken thing. Mm. So, no, I don't think she's in that. I think either Warren or Booker could potentially get in there. And the one other person I'd throw out there, is, you know, sitting here in Ohio, is Sherrod Brown. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't count him out. You know, he holds on in this state. He's got an appeal that directly sort of answers back Donald Trump's faux, you know, anti-trade stuff, which is, you know, Sherrod Brown's taken on some of our trade deals for years. It's a reason why he wins a lot of voters in the, you know, in Minnesota. He would, I think, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, a number of northern states that feel burned by some of our trade deals. Mm-hmm. And so I think if Brown gets in, he can vault into that top group also. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think Brown definitely could pull in Pennsylvania, too. And I think that would that's a I do not count. That is a great dark horse candidate when you look at it. One final thing on these candidates. I did want to burn up Bernie Sanders. The problem that Bernie has is that when it was basically – and forget about O'Malley, who ran in 2016. It was really Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And right. When it was the two, he was able to come in and get some good wins in that race. You know, if he runs now, he's not going to do that well in California with Harris. He's not going to do that well in New Jersey with Booker. He's not going to do that well in New York with Gillibrand. He's not going to do that well in Ohio with Brown. He's not going to do that well in Minnesota with Klobuchar. And some of these states where he
may be in trouble in New Hampshire with Warren being a New Englander.
Yeah. But I think that his appeal across the country is going to the more people that are in this race, that actually hurts Bernie Sanders because it basically means he has to, you know, be much more proactive at catering a message to each individual state.
Well, I think that's exactly right. He basically, if you didn't like Hillary for any reason, you had Bernie.
Yes.
Right? He was sort of you just could throw in with him and say, I don't like what they're telling me, the person who looks like is going to be our nominee. Now, suddenly, you're right, there's these different slices. If he's trying to grab young people, Beto O'Rourke did a better job even than he did of that. So now he's got to counter that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's trying to win people on economic populism, Warren's done pretty damn well on that. I think it definitely complicates things. And frankly, you know, again, I'm going to be honest about my feelings about Gillibrand and everybody else. There are people like me that will just simply never forgive him. You know, it's not that he ran against Hillary Clinton, completely legitimate. It's how his supporters acted at the convention and how he did not stop them. It's how he said he was going to become a Democrat, joined the party then, and left the party to run as an independent. It's how he always seems to have to separate himself out. He does a lot of both parties are terrible, where he throws the Democrats in as, you know, alongside the Republicans as if the Democrats, yes, there's a corporate Democratic wing. I'm not fond of it. It's a wing of the Democratic Party. It's not the whole party. And he acts sometimes like both parties are the same. It reminds me of some of that Ralph Nader stuff. And I how long he stayed in the race. So I'm just, you know, yes, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, I would support him in a second over Donald Trump, but as far as I'm concerned, he'd be the last person I'd support. I will never forgive him for 16. And I do somewhat blame him for the fact that Donald Trump is president of the United States and his supporters. So, you know, I think there are a lot of other people out there like me.
I think as well, and I mean, your standards there, and I mean, obviously, you brought your justifications with you. I look at it as I just don't think he's going to do it because I just don't think the path for him to finish close is just not there as it was in 2016. Let's take a quick break if we can, and I want to come back and I want to talk a little bit about Ilhan Omar, and you know, she lashes back at Trump today, but I mean, once again, just, you know, the mistake that's made and the fact that the Democrats are held to a very different standard by the media than the Republicans are. Cliff Schechter joining us. We'll take a quick break. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know I purchase my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Cards keep you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
We are sleepwalking into a disaster. Climate change is burning down our forests, flooding our coastlines, and parking the polar vortex in our own backyard. What can we do? Please join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska for a one-hour talk from meteorologist Paul Douglas on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul's new book is called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. This talk is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series hosted at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. It has the Big Red Rocker out front at 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by the Southwest Metro and Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, Interfaith Power and Light, and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
After celebrating the Blue Wave at the Blue State Ball, join me, Tom Hartman, the morning after for brunch at the Downtowner Wood Fire Grill on Sunday, March 3rd. It's your chance to discuss with me the big issues of the day in a small group setting. You can guarantee your spot at the brunch by pre-purchasing your ticket for $150. These tickets are very limited and will go fast. So call 952-946-8885 to reserve your spot now. More details on am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
It's the sale you love at the Electric Fetus. Now through Sunday, February 17th, take 20% off your purchase store-wide. New and used vinyl, CDs, DVDs, clothing, jewelry, unique gifts, and more. Save 20% off during the Electric Fetus Valentine's Day sale. Some restrictions apply. 20% off is good in the store at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis, as well as Duluth. Save on great music and more during the Valentine's Day at Electric Fetus.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Never heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today. Ilhan Omar, she made a mistake. She, and I think we talked about this on the show a few days ago, Cliff, and that, you know, here she is. She's in the spotlight. She's being told she's invincible. She's one of these new, you know, kind of popular freshman Democrats.
Young up-and-comers.
Yep, up-and-comers. And then she basically goes after AIPAC. And she makes a comment which, you know, and like I said, it clearly had racial or anti-Semitic undertones. And, you know, she apologized profusely about it. But first of all, your thoughts on that, because Trump and Pence are already saying that she should be punished. But yet, I mean, we can go through the laundry list of stuff those guys have said, anti-Semitic stuff that's come from that administration. And yet they don't want to even acknowledge that.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. I mean, again, they're not good faith operators. They're not people that care about running the government in a sane way. They're people that actually have to constantly look for bread and circuses to distract everybody from the garbage job they're doing. We just passed $22 trillion, you know, in debt from these fiscal conservatives, quote unquote, who are going to do all this stuff to rein in the debt. All they do ever is create more. They can't govern. So this is what you get. I mean, Donald Trump, it speaks for itself, right? He hired Sepp Gorka, a guy who belonged to a Hungarian organization, or order, I guess it would be called, that was founded by Nazi collaborators post-World War II. And that's what its lineage up to the present day. You know, he's somebody who hired Jeff Sessions initially, somebody who joked about the KKK and how great they were. He's somebody who hired Steve Bannon and said he didn't want to send his kids to school with Jewish kids because they're all spoiled brats. And the list goes on. Mike Pence, after a number of Jewish worshipers, while they're worshiping, are murdered at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, shows up to hold what's supposed to ostensibly be some kind of a service for them, and invites a Jew for Jesus to be there, a cult group that spends their time trying to attract and trick Jews into joining them. I mean, which is perhaps one of the biggest insults you ever could do. So, I mean, they have no credibility. They're ridiculous. At the same time, you know, so those of us here who try to look at things with an honest, honest appreciation of what's going on, you look at that, as I did when it happened, and said, I don't think she meant it. But I said something to her. I tweeted something, and just because my feeling was, you need to understand that when you're saying that it's all about money to Jews, there's a long history of that.
Yes.
You know, if I stand up and I put on a beret and I say something in a French accent and I love my baguette, everybody laughs and there's no problem. I stand up and I do blackface, there's a problem.
Yes.
And that's because everything is not equal. There's a history of blackface used to denigrate a certain group of people. It's the same thing with the money insult. She could have put it differently. She could have pointed out the power of AIPAC, and they are evil in what they do. AIPAC essentially gets together evangelical voters who want all Jews to return to Israel so the rapture can happen and we can all die. Why not point that out, and how cynical AIPAC is and what they do? So, you know, that's what those of us said who honestly wanted to have a conversation about it. She gave what I thought was a terrific apology, and that's that. It's done. Pence and Trump, sit down and shut up.
Well,
you know, they and that, this group of, I mean, Steve King and Steve Scalise, who called himself a cleaned-up David Duke. And, I mean, we go on and name the bunch of hoods they're running around with in the House who have white supremacists in the Senate. White supremacist connections have been pictured in Confederate regalia, like Cindy Hyde-Smith. Where was their distancing from her? When it came out, she's sitting there dressed up in this Confederate outfit. I mean, that's treason besides being racist.
Well, and you nailed it. Right. I mean, there are groups, you know the Jewish people, African Americans, Native Americans, Hispanic immigrants. These are groups that have a long history of being mistreated horribly. And so, no, there isn't wiggle room here. There isn't some, you know, like you said, like I'm going to put a beret on and eat a baguette and say, ooh, I'm a French guy. You know, there's a difference here. But once again, here we are. The media is demanding, as soon as Representative Omar said this, you had every Democrat had to condemn her. Every Democrat had to apologize in triplicate. And as you bring up this laundry list of stuff, for God's sake, Steve King alone, if we held the Republicans to the same standards that the Democrats are held to by the media, that Steve King would, that they'd be still apologizing today for that. We are living in a country right now where the Democrats always have to apologize and always have to, acquiesce. Needless to say, the Republicans can just say no comment. And, well, they said no comment. What can we do?
Again, it's sort of our cowed, weak mainstream media. There's so many things wrong with it. And they're failing. I mean, there are individual great reporters. I always feel compelled to point that out. There are some people that have broken away from the both sides model. I think of someone like John Harwood at CNBC, who's terrific and says what the truth is. That's what reporters are supposed to do, because if they don't tell us the truth, how are we supposed to make informed choices in a democracy? It's impossible. But instead, they get cowed by Fox News and Sean Hannity calling them names and Rush Limbaugh and then Donald Trump calling them names. And so they do the bidding of the other side, and they're doing such a disservice to our democracy. They're harming democracy and, frankly, undermining it. And they just can't seem to change. Obviously, there's other pressures. There's pressures in the newsroom coming from conservative publishers that own some of their publications and things like, and people who want ratings and don't care. But it's shameful. It's shameful and it's pathetic. And, as you said, Republicans, I mean, they had to answer for every one of these types of transgressions. Mm-hmm. They had three neo-Nazis running under their banner last election, openly.
Yes.
Neo-Nazis, the Republican nominees, and that they would not disavow a number of them. I mean, it's ludicrous. It is absolutely ludicrous. It is both sides garbage.
Well,
if anything ever leads to the end of democracy in America, it will be that.
Well, Mike Pence's whole transgender ban from the military, for God's sakes. That's just bigotry in policy form, for God's sakes. All right. The podcast, we still run in that. Patreon, that is, you and John still going on that one?
We are. We just had a number of really interesting folks on, and of course, the moment of truth, I would forget the one that I wanted to name. But we just had a couple really good ones. One got picked up by Anderson Cooper on CNN. We're moving, man. We come on by to Patreon.
It's where all the cool kids hang out. I will put up the links later on the Twitter, on the Facebook, but go subscribe. And I'm dead serious when I say this, there are very few podcasts I think are worth anything. Unprecedented with Cliff Schechter is one of them. It is very good. It is very solid. And you will be a smarter individual and a better individual by listening to it. So subscribe to that. There
you go. Thank you so much. You are awesome, by the way. And I'll say quickly, because the name came to me finally. I'm an idiot. We had Representative Adam Schiff on.
Okay. Nice.
And he was quoted. We quoted him and Anderson Cooper quoted our show on CNN. So we're doing some things. Come on by and check us out. And by the way, I would say how great this show is, but people clearly are smart enough to already be listening if they're listening to me. So it seems unnecessary. Keep doing what you're doing. We need you out there, Matt.
Cliff Schechter. Hey, Cliff, I appreciate it, my friend. I will talk to you before too long.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman, and this Valentine's Day, I want you to stop at Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park. Jimmy and Helene Pessis have created a family atmosphere where generations of Twin City customers have made it their jewelry store. At Continental Diamond, you can shop without pressure because no one works on commission. In addition to the outstanding selection of jewelry and watches, on Valentine's Day only, they'll be hosting R.J. Kramer Flowers and L'Amour Chocolates for those last-minute shoppers. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Hi, this is Michelle Kitzmiller from the Awakened Living Infusion radio show, and I'd like to tell you about the healing powers of traditional Chinese medicine. The medicine includes acupuncture, herbal medicine, tuina, qigong, and nutritional therapy. It's a highly individualized, safe, and effective system of integrative medicine. Traditional Chinese medicine at Awakened Living takes into consideration symptoms, lifestyle, emotions, environment, and individual experiences to determine the most effective treatment to obtain healing and make you feel better. Acupuncture is a safe and pain-free way to help your body heal. After your acupuncture session at Awakened Living, you'll walk away feeling healthy, relaxed, and balanced. Traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture works well on its own or with other treatments at Awakened Living. Schedule an appointment with me today at the Awakened Living Clinic in Bloomington. Call 952-452-8583 or visit awakenedlivinginfusion.com.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hello to all my friends in the Twin Cities. Norman Goldman here. Every afternoon at 5 p.m. on AM 950, we're having fun.
That's not a nice thing to do.
Well, I disagree with him. You know, I'm trying to make you laugh.
Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that.
Sometimes I get lucky.
I find that appalling.
Well, we have a lot of silly sound clips, but I am a lawyer and we are serious here. Law, civics, politics, silliness, and humor. Join me 5 o'clock every afternoon on AM 950.
It's a good idea to get some of this out here on that Blue State Ball coming up here March 2nd. Tell you what, you guys got the Reaper, whatever that show is after me here.
Yeah.
With you guys, you and Butch and Chuck, whoever the guys are that are on that show. Anywho, tell you what, you guys get Tom Hartman, I'm going to get Fugelsang. We'll get some interviews going here because Hartman and Fugelsang coming in for Blue State Ball, and we're going to get them on. We'll get them here for a little preview for you on the shows here. Also, of course, a lot of politicos are going to get those in there. All of us from the shows here are going to be here. A lot of the weekend shows as well, including I Am Awake. Robert and the guys are going to be out there as well. Love seeing them out there too. Make sure you join us too. It is the Blue State Ball March 2nd, the Blaisdell in Minneapolis VIP event at 5 o'clock. 6:30 is general admission. Speakers start at 7. Get your tickets at am950radio.com, am950radio.com. Speaking of running out of time, tomorrow, if you have not noticed, is Valentine's Day. La 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 la. That's right. Who wants some love? It is Valentine's Day. Are you prepared for that special someone in your life? If not, eat local Minnesota. Go to eatlocalminnesota.com. Lots of great local restaurants, great local meals. You get a great, you know, the money stays local here, and that's the great part about that. Go check it out. I'm going to presume some of the places are already booked out for tomorrow night, but of course it's the weekend, so you can get a reservation this weekend as well. Go find a great restaurant at eatlocalminnesota.com and enjoy Valentine's Day with the one you love. Jeff in Prior Lake. Let's get Jeff's call on in here. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Hey, man, how are you? Just wanted to go over a brief history of how Israel was created. And if I get anything wrong, could you please correct me? But after World War II, we went in and we liberated England. And we were the first ones to liberate the concentration camps. And we were horrified by what we saw. And then those pictures were broadcast back to the United States, and their citizens were horrified by what they saw. And then after the dust settled and everybody signed their peace treaties, I thought the United States went to the Jews in Europe and said, "Is something really bad happened to you? Is there anything we can do for you?" They said, "Yes, we'd like our own homeland." And if anybody watches the movie Exodus, it chronicles how Israel was created.
Well, and Jeff, I'm going to step on in here. I believe in the Israeli state. I believe that there is a chance for us to have peace, for goodness sakes. I don't like how the Palestinians are treated by the Israelis. I do believe the Israelis have a right to defend themselves. But, you know, we are getting – you know, Netanyahu's policies have been very aggressive, to say the least, and, you know, has been to basically punish all Palestinians under the guise of safety. I mean, we can go down. We can talk the history forever and ever. The reality is, when we can talk about Ilhan Omar and we talk about the statement that she made, because that's what this is getting back to. Let me make sure we understand something. Yesterday, Jennifer, who's a salesperson here, who's Jewish, she came on and said, and I mentioned that you don't say things about shekels. And she came in and said, "Matt, shekels isn't anti-Semitic. It's not a bad thing." It's a legitimate word within the English language, and it can be used. The problem is when if you look at the reason why I've thought of shekels as anti-Semitic is because there have been two cases. One, a Trump advisor accused the media of, because they weren't giving Trump positive coverage, that they had sold themselves for shekels. Of course, obviously, a lot of the far people on the far right believe the media is controlled by the Jews. So there was obviously a statement there. Eric Trump went after Bob Woodward after his book and said he sold out Trump for a few shekels. That was anti-Semitic as well. There are certain elements which I'm a white guy, all right? In regards to the term of shekels, there are very few ways I probably can say it that is not going to naturally come across as inappropriate at best, probably anti-Semitic. There are other, minority groups who the same thing applies. I'm not about to. African Americans, I mean, there are certain words I am not going – and I'm not talking about the N-word. I'm talking about other words that – and other phrases which that there's almost impossible for me to say without them coming out as inappropriate. Now, I don't care. I'm aware of these comments and words and realize that there's a history here, and that for me to be flippant and say, "I should have the right to say this." You do, but you're being a jerk. There are certain things you don't say. And I think that what we need to come to grips with is that regardless of whether or not you agree or disagree with what's going on in Israel and what's going on there, the reality is the Jews themselves have a history of being dismissed, demeaned, and having horrible things done to them under stereotypes, which are untrue, unjust, and disgusting. And one of those is this money issue. And yeah, Ilhan Omar shouldn't have said that. And she just shouldn't have. And it was as bad as Eric Trump when he said that Bob Woodward has sold out Trump for a few shekels. My point is this, is no one's requiring Eric Trump to leave the White House and never come back. I mean, Billy Carter was not allowed in the White House because, he was just too much of a yahoo from the South. I mean, Eric Trump made an anti-Semitic comment, for God's sakes, and we don't hold him nearly to the same standard that Ilhan Omar. And by the way, his last name is Trump. As Donald Trump is saying that Ilhan Omar needs to resign, his own son made a comment that was inappropriate. So, I understand that some people would say I'm not offended by that word. Well, that's fine. Well, there's not many ways that I, as a white guy, can say that word that's not going to come out as, at best, inappropriate and at worst, bigoted, racist, anti-Semitic. I'm okay with not using those words. And I, you know, because God forbid we all think about what we say before we say it, huh? How about that? I'll go down that road. 952-946-6205. Jeff is in Minneapolis. Wanted to chime in on this as well. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. So this is the new modus operandi now of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. They said this. He said that. They should resign. I mean, I understand what Omar said, and I voted for her, was inappropriate. She's apologized. Let's move on. But, of course, the old saying, don't throw stones in a glass house. I'd like to see Trump resign for all the things that he's said. And he seems to be okay with keeping an accused rapist, Kavanaugh, which was, you know, they think he's a rapist, but we don't have any proof of that. But he obviously has no problem, with that and the demeaning of women and all the racist things that Trump has said. So that's all I wanted to say. It's a bunch of hypocrites.
Well, and Jeff, can I bring up a point? I'm glad he brought up Kavanaugh. Remember when I said the other day, where are all the investigations? God forbid the House Judiciary Committee, I don't know, have a non-rigged investigation into Kavanaugh to find out if he was lying, because they could. And to my knowledge, they're not. You know, Dr. Ford came forward on her own personal reputation to basically try to make a statement about Brett Kavanaugh. The Democrats, at the very least, owe her the due diligence to follow up and dot every I and cross every T. Hey, guess what? We have numerous judiciary committees, subcommittees in the House. God forbid one of them actually takes that issue up. You know, like I said, there's enough to go around on a lot of different levels. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's take a break. Why don't we? We'll come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
After celebrating the Blue Wave at the Blue State Ball, join me, Tom Hartman, the morning after for brunch at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. The brunch will include a small group of other AM 950 listeners as you get to discuss with me the big issues of the day in an intimate setting. It takes place Sunday, March 3rd at 10:30 with a delicious brunch at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. There's plenty of free parking available in the lot next to the Downtowner Woodfire Grill and across the street at Burger Moe's. Tickets are $150 and are very limited, so guarantee your spot at my brunch now by calling 952-946-8885. Again, it's your chance to meet with me in a small group setting the day after the Blue State Ball on Sunday, March 3rd at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. For tickets, call 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. Details at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. See you there.
Have questions about your romantic life? Are you looking at Valentine's Day and feeling fear? Would you like to talk to someone to help figure it all out? I'm Christine Schroeder. I'm an intuitive advisor and medium. I offer helpful insights, useful answers, and practical advice to help you navigate your romantic life. To learn more and book an appointment, go to christineintuitivemedium.wordpress.com. Check out my Valentine's Day special through February 23rd. Let's talk about you.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Some stories to get to I want to put forward here. Republican lawmakers, how evil are the Republicans? Republican lawmakers don't like the back pay scheme for federal contract workers. Now, federal contract workers are not federal workers. Federal workers basically all got reimbursed. Contract workers worked because they didn't want their contract yanked, and so they were pulling in full-time hours over the 30-plus days that the government was shut down. And now the Republicans don't want to pay the contract workers for the work that they did. They missed paychecks during the government shutdown. It's holding up broader deal in spending and border security. Congress has already approved back pay for 800,000 federal employees who missed wages during the 35-day partial shutdown that ended last month, but not for the unpaid workers who are employed by federal contractors. Democrats, led by Tina Smith, a Democrat from Minnesota, have been pushing legislation that would allow federal agencies to reimburse contractors that pay workers who missed checks during the shutdown, especially low-wage janitors and security guards at federal buildings in Washington, D.C. Two Republicans, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins of Maine, have co-sponsored Smith's bill, but Republican leaders aren't going along. Roy Blunt, Republican from Missouri, I don't think we should be at this moment let get in the way of funding of government on Friday, a member of the Senate GOP leadership team said. A Trump administration official familiar with the legislation said the process to implementing the proposal alone could cost as much as the actual payments to contract workers. Well, then you shouldn't have shut down the government, you idiot. How about that, huh? Senate Democratic aides said Democrats are willing to change the legislation to address the administration's concerns, but the office management and budget hasn't requested any changes. Senator John Thune, Republican South Dakota, said he hoped negotiators crafting a larger spending package would find a way to help contractors, but he suggested it's a tricky task. Here we are once again. Republicans, we're for jobs, jobs, jobs. Hey, how about you pay me for the work I did? No, we're not going to do that because we just want you for jobs. We didn't say anything about paying you. Absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Story number two I want to get to today. Actually has to do with towing here. Star Tribune's Miguel Atarola reports, during snow emergencies in Minneapolis, hundreds of parked vehicles are towed to city streets to make way for snowplows. Have you ever been towed in the city of Minneapolis, Hunter?
I have.
I have, too. That was years ago, but still I did. Tow trucks apparently, though, very rarely visit the southwest corner of the metro. Now, if you don't know what the southwest corner of the Minneapolis is, that's the lakes area. That's the very wealthy area. Now, I will make the obvious argument. Well, if they've got driveways and garages, that probably is taking a lot of the vehicles that are usually parked on the streets off the road. But I've been down there during snow emergencies. There's plenty of cars parked on snow emergency routes, and they don't get towed nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, all right. I see where you're going there. Finally, one final story, and hold on, Kathy. I'll get your call here in a second. One final story for you. Twin Cities family is dealing with the fallout from a popular holiday gift that promises to trace your roots. CCO Television, they put out a warning that after a home DNA kit turned their world upside down, it seemed like a harmless move after Dave Lundquist and his wife Cheryl watched a commercial for a simple saliva test. We decided to take the test and expected to get our family and cute results, Lundquist said. But $100 and 6 weeks later, Dave discovered a mysterious branch of his family tree. The results I got back on the test were anything but cute and funny, he said. The more I looked into it, the more shocked I became. Dave grew up on the east side of St. Paul with his mother and father. As the youngest of six, naturally he expected his map to look a certain way. I'd always been told I was Scandinavian. Stories about my grandparents being born in Sweden. He recalled Sweden is coming up as only 8%. Not what I thought at all. Instead, Dave's results showed 2,000 matches made in Mexico. The real bombshell was that Dave has a different father than his siblings, a family secret he never knew. I don't know what my dad knew. He said Dave's been left to cope with the questions himself since his parents passed away at 59 years old. Suddenly linked to a family of strangers, also reeling from the news. So I'm presuming that he knows kind of where his lineage came from at this point. Finding a new uncle, a new nephew, a new cousin, a whole new family, said, my hope is that something good can come of it. The Lundquist are optimistic the family in St. Paul may eventually be comfortable enough to meet. In the meantime, they're warning anyone else the potential life for a life-altering surprise. If you're going to take one of these DNA tests, you better be prepared. I don't think that that's – I don't think that that is not – that's not a bad warning whatsoever. Because, you know, you all have – we all have stories we are told about our heritage. And, you know, when you take these tests, you can always retake them. But generally, these genetic tests don't lie. So you'll find out what's true and what's not. So Kathy is in St. Paul. Let's get her call in here before the break – before the end of the show. Kathy, welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. I just wanted to talk a little bit about – I'm just so tired of people blaming Bernie Sanders for Hillary losing. You know, Bernie did not make her call her potential voters deplorable.
Okay,
Bernie
Kathy,
did not tell
Kathy,
her not
Kathy,
to go.
Kathy,
to
Kathy, I want to stop you. I want to stop. Bring Kathy on back. Kathy, Kathy, hold on a second. I want to stop you. Okay, I'm gonna Kathy. You know, she's just going. The Russians. They got involved here. Social media manipulation got involved here. There was a tremendous campaign to turn people away. And there was a tremendous campaign out there, not done by Hillary Clinton or by Bernie Sanders, but done by the Russians and freaking Trump to basically
–
Kathy. But it's not Hillary's fault, and you went down that road. It wasn't Bernie's fault that Hillary did this. No, Kathy. Listen, okay, if I will turn this car around. Bernie supporters, Hillary supporters, listen to me. You got manipulated. You don't want to think you did, but you did. And you're still showing the signs of it. They got played because we didn't realize that the same technology that dictates what coupons you get at a freaking Target after you check out was being used to convince you to not vote or vote a certain way, to vote for Jill Stein or not vote at all. How many times did I see this? There's no difference between Hillary or Bernie or Hillary and Trump, so I'm just not going to vote at all. I think we learned the lesson there. You want to play this out, and like I said, Kathy, you're the one that started yelling about Hillary. Schechter made his comments. That's the fine thing. What I'm going to say is what I've said from the get-go. You were manipulated, and it's hard to admit. It's hard to acknowledge. We all were. How do you think? They went in with a surgical knife into Wisconsin, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood. Same thing in Michigan. Same thing in Pennsylvania. They did this with companies that are based in Israel, in Switzerland, and in Russia. They went and did this by design. They manipulated us through social media, and we got that clown. Hey, lesson learned. But stop fighting, all right? And move ahead. And granted, I'm not gonna back up or condone, Schechter's comments. But at the same time, if we don't stop and realize this is a bad path to go down, we're only destined to repeat it. So stop it. Pageant's up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.